Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, we have got a great show for you here this morning. Aaron Flint with Montana Talks. We are broadcasting live from Whitefish. Several members of Congress, Trump administration officials, and other kind of industry experts are here in the Flathead Valley for the Western Congressional Caucus big summit that they've got going on all week long. You've probably been hearing some of our coverage throughout the week. We got a chance to catch up with U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz and many others. Got to attend some of the panel discussions. But yeah, kicking it off, we've got a great guest here kicking off our show this morning, Congressman Tom Tiffany out of the great state of Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, I should add. I've gotten to do some fun fishing and camping trips in northern Wisconsin back in the day. Still got some family back there. But he is the chairman of the Federal Lands Committee back in Congress. And Congressman Tiffany, great to see you here in Whitefish. Hi, Aaron, how's your trip going so far?
Aaron, it is great to be here in Northwest Montana. 40 years since I've been out here. My college roommate moved out here right after college in the early 80s, worked for Stoll's Lumber, and he used to send me stories back from Montana, and it's been too long getting back here.
40 years. You know, it's crazy. 40 years ago, yeah, I was living here in Whitefish. My dad had a small house right here in Whitefish. I wish we could have bought that small house here in Whitefish 40 years ago. It'd probably be worth a decent amount of money here today, 40 years later.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I remember from that trip, so it was just a few years later, and my friend Dean, he was in the, unfortunately, he passed a few years ago, but he worked in the timber industry, and he wrote me this heartfelt letter in the early 90s, like 3 or 4 pages, handwritten, about the devastation that was going on as a result of the shutdown of logging out here in the western states, including in northwest Montana, and the great harm that it was doing. And we're seeing the environmental harm now, certainly the economic harm happening earlier than that. But that's the first time I was introduced to what the corporate environmental groups were doing to the western United States to shut down the West from resource production and really harmed America as a result of that.
Yeah, this town that we're sitting in right now, it's a beautiful town, beautiful lake, beautiful ski hill, beautiful mountains. But this fundamentally, first and foremost, was a timber town and a railroad town. And I would argue that the reason it's beautiful today is because of the folks who worked in those industries are part of what helped make it beautiful and maintain it and kept it beautiful as well.
You will not be prosperous as a nation unless you utilize your natural resources. I mean, look at China's greatest challenge at this point. They don't have great natural resources. They're trying to control it by their Belt and Road initiatives and various things like that, the actions they're taking in Africa and around the world, including here in the Western Hemisphere. By the way, we should reinstate the Monroe Doctrine, but that's a story for another day. But if you have natural resources, and we have them, you can have prosperity. And that's one of the things that made America the greatest country on earth in the 20th century. That's what's being decided now in the 21st century.
As you can see, we've got a great guest who understands the West. He's the chair of the Federal Lands Committee. More with Congressman Tom Tiffany from the Western Congressional Caucus here in the Flathead right after this.
Donald Trump's America.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says more than 550 arrests have been made a week into a crime crackdown in D.C. ordered by President Trump. In addition to a surge of federal law enforcement and a federal takeover of the D.C. police, nearly 2,000 National Guard troops, several hundred deployed from Republican-led states, are patrolling the city.
D.C. is already safer than it was 9 days ago, but we're going to make it safer still to come. This is your city. You should feel free to come and visit.
Vice President J.D. Vance was met by protests, heckling and jeering his visit to Union Station, where he and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ate lunch with guardsmen. It's not clear how long the National Guard deployment will last, and President Trump has suggested extending federal control of the police beyond the 30-day allowance. A recent Washington Post poll found D.C. residents largely oppose the National Guard presence. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back to it here with Congressman Tom Tiffany here at the Western Congressional Caucus taking place in the Flathead Valley. Congressman Tiffany, I'm glad that it's called the Federal Lands Committee, not the Public Lands Committee. My Uncle Monty... my late Uncle Monty, a great rancher in eastern Montana, and he'd always tell people, stop calling them public lands. They're federal lands. If they were public lands, the feds wouldn't be able to lock you out from having access to those lands. So they're called federal lands for that very reason. So anyway, great to have you here on the show. What have you been seeing this week here in Montana? What have you been hearing this week here in Montana that's standing out to you as the chairman of that committee and a guy from Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the Western Caucus is really a good organization, and members from across the country belong to it. And it's for, so I'm east of the Mississippi, but I belong because they deal with natural resources issues. And I believe that in order to be prosperous, you have to be able to utilize your natural resources. But some of the stuff we've seen today, and something we've really been focused on, is access, but then also wildfire. And the one thing that's become very clear to me is that we have the technology to be able to control fire here in across America, but especially here in the West. And are there times for there to be burns? Absolutely. But there's no reason to have these massive wildfires that are going on. This week, we saw some of the technology that's available in terms of mapping, being able to get up above, get up in the air immediately after these lightning strikes hit that so often cause fires in the West, or, you know, whatever else may cause a fire, you know, a careless campfire, whatever the case may be. We have the technology now with drones, planes, all the other stuff to be able to identify fire quickly and be able to put it out so they do not become these massive wildfires.
It was fun catching up with you earlier in the week, but we were just chatting offline, I think, after one of the panel discussions, and we got to talk about wildfire, and you asked us, you said, hey, are you guys getting hit with all this Canadian wildfire smoke? Because you guys got pummeled with the Canadian wildfire smoke in Wisconsin, another northern border state, basically, and yeah, it doesn't need to be this way, but of course, the radical left has taken over the Canadian government, and so it seems like they're following the same approach as the left in America to just say, nope, we're not going to aggressively fight these fires. We just want to sit back, let the problem get worse so they can blame it all on climate change. And I shared with you this story where out of Saskatchewan, I think it was, there was an arsonist who was responsible for setting 30 fires. But again, they just want to blame climate change.
That arsonist in the story that you forwarded set 30 fires. They gave him probation. They gave him probation. So just a slap on the wrist, that's not going to deter people from doing this. So I always say the watershed year was 1988, when this country went to a preservationist mode rather than a management mode. When we manage our forests and our natural resources, we have them in abundance, and you manage them well. I mean, take it back to my state of Wisconsin. We had what they called the cutover in the very early 1900s. They slit the forests off. It was, you know, just the wrong forest management. But we learned from it, and in the 1930s, we put in place a managed forest program that restored toured our forests in Wisconsin, and we had the best forest management processes in place. Well, you get to about the year 2000, and we had a Department of Natural Resources that had a more preservationist mode, and now we've got far more growth than harvest, and you see these dead areas in forests with old growth forests and stuff like that. It is not managed as well as it used to be, and that's what we need to get back to, and that's what we've really been talking about here with Western Caucus this week. But it wasn't just the United States, it was Canada also. They're in this preservationist mode rather than management mode, and when you let all that deadfall on the forest floor, we know what happens.
Yeah, and look at the job loss, look at the wages loss, look at the communities that have been lost as a result of this war on common sense and this war on the timber industry, and so much more here in Montana, but really across the West. You mentioned 1988. 1988 was a big political year here in Montana because of the fires in Yellowstone and this let it burn strategy that the deep state wanted to have in place on our federal lands. And that's what ended up propelling a Republican victory in the Senate that year. Speaking of Republican victories in the Senate, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy has been popping in and meeting with folks here this week. And I know you got to see some of the aerial firefighting assets. And he's basically made the point that there's no reason we have to have these big, massive, out-of-control wildfires anymore. It's been proven that an aggressive attack strategy and more can help stop this.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like with the corporate environmental groups that, you know, raise hundreds of millions of dollars, some of it, if they were fully transparent, I'm very concerned, comes from foreign countries or foreign actors to shut down our natural resources because they know that's where prosperity comes from. But some of this is well planned out, whether it's Center for Biological Diversity, you know, you name all those groups. They want people out of rural America, and they have maps, and I can show them maps that they've put out where they want less human habitation. And that's ultimately what they're attempting to do. So it doesn't matter in regards to managing our forests or managing wildlife like grizzlies and wolves and things like that. I mean, a lot of that is they want people in these 10-minute or what do they call them, 10-minute or 15-minute cities where you're just on public transit and you live in, you don't have home ownership, you rent and all the rest. I mean, that's ultimately where some of these people want us to go.
They're trying to push us that way. Yeah, we saw it with the Great Reset. We see that on the ground here in Montana in so many different ways. You will own nothing and be happy. No, we won't. We'll be happy, but we're gonna be happy doing it our way, the Western way. Quick break here on Montana Talks. More with Congressman Tom Tiffany right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
Like off of Ohtani's leg, and everyone's gonna be safe. And now, the attention to Shohei, who was hobbling. That liner got him square in the leg.
Ouch. Line drive right off the thigh.
Slightly above the knee on the outside. 93.7 off the bat of Arcia.
I would be guessing that he's probably not going to continue as a pitcher because you don't want to have any issue with your legs. It then affects your delivery and your arm. We will see. He's trying to walk it off. Looks like he wants to convince Dave Roberts that he's okay.
On Spectrum Sportsnet LA, Shohei Ohtani finished the fourth inning for the Dodgers against the Rockies, but then left the game as a pitcher. He batted in the fifth inning, but sat out the rest of the way. Ohtani allowed a career-worst 9 hits. The Rockies got 5 earned runs off Ohtani in only 4 innings. Shohei took the defeat. The Rockies beat the Dodgers 8-3. LA manager Dave Roberts said Ohtani escaped the line drive without any bone-on-bone contact and should be fine to play when the Dodgers resume their schedule tomorrow versus the second-place Padres. San Diego got within 1 game of Los Angeles in the NL West. Gavin Sheets hit 2 of the Padres' 4 home runs in an 8-1 jolting of the Giants. Still a game and a half lead for the Astros over the Mariners atop the AL West. Both teams lost. The Astros dropped their 4th game in a row. The Mariners lost their 5th straight. Houston swept by Detroit. The AL Central leading Tigers topped the Stros 7-2. The Mariners crushed by the Phillies 11-2. Trey Turner had 5 hits for the NL East leaders, whose Kyle Schwarber broke a tie with Shohei Ohtani. For the National League leading home run, Schwarber hit his 45th. And he drove in 5 runs to increase his major league leading total to 109 RBIs. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Mike.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I better switch tracks now. Rogue judges. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the chief of the U.S. Forest Service also mentioned a little bit about rogue judges. I think it also came up during the conversation and the panel discussion about grizzly bears and how we have plenty of grizzly bears in Montana and Wyoming. Christy Clark, the FWP director here in Montana, and Wyoming's, you know, fish and game director from Wyoming as well, were both here taking part in a panel discussion talking about how, you know, we have more than enough grizzly bears for these things to come off the endangered species list. But I think the name Don Malloy came up. Judge Don Malloy, federal judge. He, I believe, has single-handedly been, you know, one of the biggest reasons why our timber industry has been destroyed, why these radical environmentalists have pretty much gotten everything that they've wanted. Congressman Tom Tiffany, chairman of the Federal Lands Committee, how we rein in these rogue judges. Well, first off, we just got to replace these rogue judges, and President Trump is finally getting two new judge appointments here in Montana. But on top of that, what else can be done to reform the Endangered Species Act to rein in these lawless leftist judges?
So one of the ways is to get good court decisions. And we're seeing the Trump administration make progress through the federal courts. We've seen these nationwide injunctions, right, that we all rail on. But most of them are being appealed, and the Trump administration is winning, you know, whether it's illegal immigration, these various issues that have been litigated. Trump administration is doing a really good job there. The second thing is the Senate really needs to rock now on getting these appointments done. And so they need to make sure that they're working diligently to get those judges that are being proposed by President Trump to get them confirmed. But then there's also a role for Congress here, and we have some bills. For example, we have a delisting bill for wolves that, of course, you have delisting on the wolf here in Montana. We want it for the lower 50 states. We also have the grizzly bill that's out there. We should try to get those bills done and get them to the Senate and then challenge Senator Thune. Figure out a way to be able to get these passed. You know, and I think about, as I've been out here, you know, we don't have grizzlies in Wisconsin, so we don't have that same problem. But I think about, you know, wolves are, I mean, they're bad enough because they're creating this real problem with resource management in, like, my state of Wisconsin. But they generally don't threaten people, even though we are beginning to see more wolf people conflicts in Wisconsin. But grizzlies are a real threat to human beings, and they should be delisted and allowed to be managed. But these judges that we see where they relist these species, they have no concept of wildlife management and why they stick their noses into it and do what they do without following the law is beyond me. And more importantly, Aaron, following the science.
Well, and I think it's just a part of the broader strategy from the left and from the Democrat Party. Is it's no different than the illegal aliens. You know, you had that child predator, illegal alien, who was screaming and yelling, I'm not a criminal, while he was being arrested in the streets of D.C. And so many of these left-wing reporters ran with it and fell for it. And now we know his real background. But, you know, they want to unleash these predators and keep these predators on the streets of America, these illegal aliens, hardcore criminal rapists, murderers, and more. And in the West, they want to unleash these predators, grizzlies, wolves, and not be able to rein that in either. And it's just a deliberate strategy to undermine the West, to depopulate the West of rural voters, rural jobs, rural economies, and then shift that power elsewhere. Same thing with the illegal aliens. It's a power grab, right?
Yeah, so if you take a look at, like, in the Big Beautiful Bill, there were 25 executive orders that we codified in there. One of the real unknown things that people haven't heard about, 25 executive orders by the president that were codified in the Big Beautiful Bill. And that's one of the things that we could be doing here, is taking those executive orders, especially on the natural resources side, and trying to put them into law. And there is a real movement at this point to reform the Endangered Species Act, to reform NEPA, and make it so that it works for the American people. And I think we need to be fearless on that front and talk about how this is not benefiting the environment, what the radical environmental left has been doing. In fact, it's harming the environment at the end of the day, whether it's wildlife management, forest management, or anything else. We need to have affordable energy for America to be prosperous. We should be able to manage our wildlife species as states have always done. We've got a lot of work to do in Congress on that front.
So the one big beautiful bill, we've heard the Montana angle from our Montana elected officials. I think I've spoken with all four members of the congressional and Senate delegations. And so a lot in there for beautiful, clean coal and the jobs on that front. And then a lot in there on federal lands issues, timber industry, especially more responsible, you know, land management. What stands out to you from a Wisconsin perspective that you think would apply here in Montana as well?
Yeah, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we all know about, the additional funding for the military to modernize our military going into the future, securing the border, all the rest. But I think about there's some stuff that is relatively small in the context of the bill, but really important. Like, we're putting additional money into housing and other things for our military. You know, you think about many of those people that they go in and serve our country, our men and women, and they're really living in almost poverty. We should make sure that they have at least decent living quarters, that if there's a family member that is with them on that base, that they have job training programs for them. There's a bunch of money that was put in for that. For the Federal Aviation Administration, we put billions of dollars into that to modernize that system. We've been seeing the stories, you know, where they're using floppy disks to be able to manage their technology in these federal agencies yet. That all needs to be modernized. We put money in there. So there's a whole bunch of little things that we put in there that are going to be really beneficial to just modernize our government and make it work for the American people.
Yeah, the aviation incidents, the Department of Transportation. I mean, we've been talking a lot this week about these foreign truck drivers, some who are illegal aliens, many who don't even speak English, who should not be on our road. Ways the Trump administration is now working to enforce that. But you know, from an aviation standpoint, right here in the Flathead recently, there was a deadly plane crash on a small strip in West Glacier. At the smaller airport south of Kalispell, there was a plane crash there. Thankfully, everybody survived that one. But I wonder if part of it is, one, not only have you had, you know, the train wreck of the Buttigieg Transportation Secretary Biden regime, and refusal to, you know, they were pushing all this woke DEI garbage, but yet not pushing new technology. But then, you know, the Democrats here locally were saying, oh, these plane crashes are happening because Trump fired air traffic controllers. No, he didn't. Actually, he hired more. And by the way, those two plane crashes that I just mentioned happened at non-controlled airports where you wouldn't have an air traffic controller anyway. So these people are just floundering and just lying nonstop.
Yeah, they're trying to find anything. Medicaid, for example, we have defended the Medicaid changes. We were putting reforms in place for Medicaid and making sure that it is not abused. I have put out a challenge in my state to all the Democrats. You show me someone that has been kicked off from Medicaid that is legitimately on it, you know, someone who is disabled, a pregnant woman, poor children, whatever the case may be. You give me that example of somebody that's legitimately on that program, and I will help them get back on the program because they're not going to be able to find that person. The final thing I'd say in regards to the Big Beautiful Bill, though, it has so many pro-growth policies in it, especially for small businesses. When you look at full depreciation that you can do in the first year of buying an asset, think about people. That's when you see real growth in an economy, when investors are investing with confidence and saying that we're going to buy this machine or we're going to add on to our facility, and they're investing thousands, if not millions of dollars. That's when you see real growth in America. And there's some really good stuff that's in the Big Beautiful Bill on the investment front.
I told you off air, but I got to tell you on air, too. Your wife, Chris, said the smartest thing I've heard all week long. She said, you know what? Trump's doing so many great things right now. Now these guys got to codify it. They got to codify all these executive orders and some of the other administrative actions. So she is so spot on. I know our listeners would echo that one. Morgan in Helena just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Congress can prohibit any taxpayer funding to nonprofits. require groups who win endangered species or EPA lawsuits to bond or escrow tax funds lost and pay for fires in those areas involved in the lawsuits. Litigation reform is a big topic.
What's his name, Morgan?
Morgan, her name, yeah.
Yeah, Morgan, if you're listening out there, I want you to send that to my office. Go ahead, send an email to my office with that recommendation. You are listening to me on the radio in Montana, and my staff will see it. I have a proposal out there for loser pays, because we are seeing these groups lose, like Center for Biological Diversity, and it's just a lawsuit machine for them. It's their industry. Let's make it so it's loser pays, because they almost, at the end of the day, they almost always lose. It's just that they tie up things so long, and delay is death for these projects.
We got just about a minute to go, and then I think we've got Congressman Ron Estes out of Kansas, who's going to be joining us on the show here in a few minutes as well.
So I was just batting lead off here.
You're the opener. And then I think I've got Congressman Baird out of Indiana, Vietnam veteran. Looking forward to catching up with him here on the show this morning as well. But yeah, about a minute to go. What else, Congressman Tom Tiffany, do you want to share with our listeners across Montana?
You know, I closed last night in this panel with Representative Zinke yesterday, and I just said the 21st century is deciding who is going to be the dominant force. Is it going to be communist China, or is it going to be America? The 20th century was an American century, and we were at the top of the heap at the end of the 20th century. We're deciding now. And if we can't utilize our natural resources in America, we will not be the king of the hill in the 21st century. If we sell off our land to communist China, we will not be the king of the hill. We're deciding that now. We're going to fight every day for Americans to make this an American century in the 21st.
So great to have you on the show. I forgot to ask you, are you a muskie fisherman? Do you catch muskie up there in northern Wisconsin?
I do a little fishing, but I'd like to go panfish. I mean, they're the good eaters. Crappies, bluegills.
Bluegills are fun to catch. Those things are cool. Yeah, I caught those for the first time in Hayward, Wisconsin. Congressman Tom,
especially out on the ice.
Oh yeah, ice fishing's a good time. if you got one of those fancy warming huts.
Dustin.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have now with us Congressman Ron Estes out of Kansas, Wichita, Kansas. Anyway, great to see you here, Congressman Estes. Thanks for joining us. I'll have to just pull your mic up a little. There we go. I should have checked that during the break. But, yeah, great to be here for the Western Congressional Caucus, and thanks for joining us here on Montana Talks.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. I always enjoy coming back to Montana.
Yeah, I wish my friend George Blackard, he's a Navy veteran. I'm an Army veteran, so we do a Freedom Friday program, and so he'll be with me tomorrow, but I wish he was here because he's a Kansas kid, so
okay,
he would have enjoyed this. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah,
so
that's great.
I got to spend a little bit of time at Fort Riley, Kansas before deploying to Afghanistan, and you know, usually the Army bases aren't always in the nicest locations. That was a nice location for an Army base.
It is. It's great. It's near enough to Manhattan, you know, city, having community, Manhattan and Junction City, but also, it's such a big, sprawling base. I mean, it's the headquarters for the Big Red One Division, you know, that's so famous throughout, you know, the 20th century and World War One, World War Two, and all the effort there. So it's a good facility that helps the Army with what they need. Yeah.
Well, what have you been seeing and hearing here during your, you know, few days here in the Flathead Valley for the Western Congressional Caucus? I know a few members got to get up to Glacier, go into the Sun Road. That's just one of the most beautiful places in the entire world. It's my favorite in the entire world is right here.
It really is. It was beautiful as we went up there yesterday. And, you know, it's great being able to see the heights of the mountains, see the and the depths of the valleys as you're going up. But also, I'm kind of an engineer by background. And so just seeing the striations in the rock layer and thinking about the geological impact of how that was created, it's interesting to watch and just a beautiful scenery to see.
What an engineering feat when you see those rock walls and then the waterfalls that go underneath the roadway. I mean, it's just, and then you think about the snowplow crews that got to get up there every spring. It's insane.
It really is. You think about how you maintain that, and you know, you think back about, you know, in the 1930s when they were building the road, is how you ended up with the technology that was available at that point in time, going carrying dynamite in your backpack to get up to places where you had to blast out rock to be able to get to that, and then using the rock formation and, you know, making the arches for part of that section of the roadway so that they didn't have to blast too much of the mountain away in order to make that work. And that's a lot of what we want to do with the Western Caucus. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I joined it. It's called the Western Caucus because one of the primary goals is focusing on our public lands and how do we protect, preserve, and make sure that we maintain those in an equitable manner to be able to use and be beneficial for Americans. And so there's members from all across the country. And so being able to be responsible and stewards of our public lands is so important. So it's great to see that as you're here, see it in person and be able to partake in
I think it's fun that you got a North Carolina congressman here. I saw Florida Congressman Greg Stube, a fellow Army veteran, was here as well. I think it's just that, you know, so why would Florida and North Carolina be here for the Western Congressional Caucus? I think everybody wants to be a Westerner because the West is where it's at. This is real Americana out here.
I think that is a lot of it. And you know, for me, from Kansas, we kind of Midwest or the Plains, depends on which definition you're using. But, you know, not only looking at our responsibility of taking care of public lands, but also the Western Caucus, we look at public right or property rights and the ability for us as Americans to own whatever it is, whether it's land, whether it's house, whether it's a vehicle. And, you know, that's a piece of being free, is being able to have those property rights that you can understand and benefit from and not have somebody at a whim because they have some political power take that away from you. And so that's another reason why I joined the Western Caucus. The other reason, we have a lot of, obviously endangered species are one of the things that we talk about in the caucus. And, you know, in Kansas, we have some things like lesser prairie chicken and a few other things that sometimes pop up. So obviously that's a concern as well, of making sure that our EPA and Department of Interior and Fish and Wildlife are actually doing the things they should be doing.
Yeah, even in Montana, we see it because we have such a massive terrain that we see the way that the Endangered Species Act or an animal or a bug can be used as a tool really to go after us and to go after our way of life and to go after agriculture, for example. And in the West, it's grizzlies and lynx is the tool that they use with no scientific basis either to lock us out. And then in the East, it's sage grouse, or they'll find another tool to lock us out, or they're old standby, they'll just blame climate change to lock us all out. Talk about, so you're not only a member of the Ways and Means Committee, you're also on the Budget Committee as well, but talk about what you were able to help deliver with the One Big Beautiful Bill provisions that are really beneficial to Kansas, but also here to the Rocky Mountain West as well.
A lot of what we've focused on, you know, obviously from the Ways and Means side, we have responsibility for all the tax issues as well as trade and so many of the healthcare issues. But, you know, from a tax standpoint, we were facing a huge tax increase next year because of the temporary nature of some of the provisions we put into the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017. So it depends on how your numbers are. Different states would be different affected. But it basically would have been a $2,200 or 22% tax increase for individuals. And in Kansas, in 1 year, that would have amounted to about $2,200. Other states, different, you know, on the average for individuals. So obviously that has a huge impact on individuals and, you know, the way they can run their lives, whether they can buy the car or the truck that they need. And we just couldn't allow that to happen. The other provisions that actually we put in place in 2017 that actually made the economy take off, and whether it's being able to write off a capital expenditure, so a business goes out and buys something and they can be able to deduct that the first year instead of spreading that out over 5 years. And that provision expired along with a provision that allowed research and development costs to be deducted the first year that they incurred. And what we saw when those provisions expired 2 years ago was we saw a drop in investment. And so a corresponding drop in jobs and incomes.
Well, you talk about investments. You know, when the Forest Service chief was talking about, hey, we want to get more access to timber so we can get these sawmills back up and running. Well, a new sawmill today, he said, is going to be $250 million. So we need access to those investments and things like that. I'd imagine Kansas, that doing away with the death tax is such a great deal for you guys as well. Huge for Montana, because especially everybody wants to be in the red states. Everybody wants to move to the red red states like Montana. And so if you're forced to sell, there's a lot of buyers out there. But we want to keep this land in production.
That's right. We want to make sure that families can pass it on. I mean, they're American citizens, whether they're in Kansas or Montana, are the best stewards of the land and best stewards of property. And we want to make sure that they can pass that on to their heirs, as well as, you know, the benefit that they attained during their lifetime. And so we were able to get some permanence in what the death tax exemption is, keep it at a high rate, and index it for inflation so that it continues to go up to, as inflation costs show up. And so we want to make sure that just the permanence aspect of so many things is going to help make a lot of those decisions better and easier for people to make and go out and make that investment in the sawmill, because you know that, hey, this is going to be the tax code for the next several years, and it's not a five-year provision.
That's right. Not only access to the timber over the next, especially with some of these 20-year agreements that the Forest Service just signed with the state of Montana, for example, but access to capital and access to your own freaking money, too, at the end of the day, that
That's
you're
right.
not just cutting a check to
That's
the government.
Right.
I wanted to go back also. You were talking about the trip to Glacier National Park and the infrastructure and, you know, how long that infrastructure has been in place. One of the things I like that you know, for example, Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines did with the Great American Outdoors Act, and Congressman Zinke was a big part of this as well as Interior Secretary under the Trump first term, is they said, hey, we're going to use this money to, we're going to allow this money to also go towards infrastructure, because historically what the feds had done before that, they'd take all this money, all these offshore oil and gas royalties, and they would use that money to buy more federal land, but they wouldn't take care of the land they already had. They wouldn't invest in infrastructure in Yellowstone National Park and in Glacier National Park. The changes to the Great American Outdoors Act allowed for that to happen. On the spending side, I know you're on the budget committee as well. We're pleased to see a rescissions package already make it through, hoping to see more of those, as I'm sure you are as well. But I also, when we look at, you know, these Western issues and all these radical environmental groups, I wonder how many of those groups are getting our own taxpayer dollars, and our own taxpayer dollars are being used against us to fund the very left-wing groups that are suing us and kicking us off of our own so-called public lands.
Yeah, it really is. And you're right in terms of the money that was being used to expand land instead of maintain what we had to make sure that it's available and useful. And when you look at these other groups, and, you know, the Doge effort uncovered a lot of this in terms of just outright wasteful spending and fraud and abuse of the taxpayer dollars. And we've been able to codify some of those things to help back up that executive order and some of those things that have come out of the executive branch. Because, you know, unless you don't put it in law, when one presidential administration changes, you can have a completely different direction in that.
And boy, have we seen that.
We have. And we need to make sure that we get more things put in law, like, you know, what's the process for taking something off of the endangered species list once they get off that place? What's the process of looking at, this is the land we own, but do we really need all of that?
How does this Chevron decision apply to everything? I know coming up in a few minutes, I want to talk with some of the experts that were here talking about that topic as well. Stand by, quick break, back with Montana Talks right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And you saw the people in Iran beginning to rise up because they were sick and tired of living under these, you know, rigid mullahs in Iran and these rigid rules that were put in place. Anyway, to fast forward, we have a group of reformers now inside of Iran. They're calling for Iran to suspend their uranium enrichment program. In other words, give up their nuclear ambition. Why? Because they want to reach a deal with the U.S. to ease sanctions on the country as they face widespread power and water shortages. And they're struggling financially, and their people are beginning to struggle. And if they continue to struggle, usually the outcome of such a struggle ends up with some type of new government taking over. That's kind of similar to what happened in the Cold War.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did, and I've been doing it for decades. Every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify into precious metals. Now, especially during uncertain times, remember the 2008 financial crisis. Who do I choose to make my gold and silver purchases with? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 Gold and Silver Kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Gold Co. has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. Now, you're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD, or go to the website HannityGold.com.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Riley Green is expanding his 2024 album, Don't Mind If I Do, with a deluxe edition dropping August 29th. The RIAA Gold Certified record will now feature six new tracks. Fans will finally get the full version of Make It Rain, a song Green has been teasing on his Damn Country Music Tour. The deluxe also packs in collaborations, Cowboy As It Gets, with Randy Houser, and I Just Need You, a duet with rising artist Hannah McFarlane. Jimmy Allen was found liable for sexual assault, battery, and other claims Monday in Tennessee. The ruling stems from a 2023 lawsuit by a woman who said Allen assaulted her in a Las Vegas hotel room in 2022 and secretly filmed the encounter. A judge issued a default judgment after Allen and his company missed multiple deadlines and court orders. Allen has denied the allegations, blaming the missed deadlines on his lawyer's health issues. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Boy, we got a lineup in the works now. Just saw our next member of Congress here in town for the Western Congressional Caucus just popped in, so he'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Look forward to catching up with him. He's out of the great state of Indiana and a great Vietnam veteran, so looking forward to telling him thanks for his service like we always like to do for all of our incredible Vietnam veterans out there. A few more minutes left here this hour of the show. Representative Ron Estes out of Kansas, you're on the budget committee. I'm sure you're hearing it from your constituents, our listeners. It's, you know, everybody's saying, look, it's great. We got the one big beautiful bill across the finish line. We got this rescissions package across the finish line. There's a lot more work to do. $37 trillion in debt, roughly, and climbing.
Yep, it really is. And you go back to pre-COVID days, 2019. I mean, our revenue growth has gone up 40% since then. So the tax revenue. So we're getting more money to be able to afford our bills. But spending's gone up 70%. It started with COVID, and it never stopped in terms of that. So we've got to address both the discretionary spending, which we've done with a rescission bill, or at least to start that. I mean, that's $9 billion. I hate to say this, but, you know, that's just $9 billion, you know, compared to a $2 trillion debt deficit for that's added each year. So we've got obviously a lot more work to do. In the one big beautiful bill, you know, one of the great provisions when there's so many of them to talk about, but one of them was that we cut $1.6 trillion out of the deficit over the next 10 years. And those are the automatic spending program. Sometimes they get called mandatory spending, but, you know, anything's mandatory that congressional can change the laws on anything through that. So we've got to address some of those programs. Obviously, I'm chairing right now the Social Security Subcommittee on Ways and Means. We know we're staring down the in 2032 that the trust fund is going to run out. So people are going to take a 24% cut in their benefits if we don't do something. So we've got to start getting serious, and people's got to stop playing so much politics and being able to focus on how do we address the overall deficit issue and how do we make sure that keep our government limited and making sure that it provides the services that it should be.
What more can be done this year with another rescissions package? Could the president unilaterally cut some more spending with his own rescissions package before the end of the calendar year, and then with the appropriations process leveraging that to trim back one by one, bill by bill, appropriations bill by appropriations bill?
Yeah, and I think that's a big piece that the president and his administration, Russ Vaught at OMB, can actually look at additional rescissions on different programs. I mean, the problem we're getting into now is we're starting September 30th ends the fiscal year. October 1st is a new fiscal year, so we've got to have appropriations for 2026. I think the Democrats are trying to figure out whether they can politically play the game of threatening to shut the government down in order to help stop some of these spending reductions that are out there. So I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes the news story as we get closer to October 1st, that the Democrats are going to shut the government down.
Do you think, will the Republicans hold together? Because I'm sure you've seen it firsthand. I mean, you got to sit through the kind of the McCarthy years where it was like, okay, there was a handful of more moderate Republicans that you couldn't get on board with anything. But then you'd have a handful of conservative members that you couldn't get on board with anything. So as a result, it was like an all-out ambush. And the caucus seems more united this time around.
It is. It's much more. We all recognize the major problems. We've got to sort through that. But everybody's district is a little bit different. I mean, we've got the three members that are elected from districts that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won. And then we have Republicans elected from districts where the Republican registration is plus 20. You know, so obviously the issues are somewhat different in those districts. As we sort through that, how do we address that? How do we address the folks that are mostly concerned about the debt and deficit and addressing that? How do we address folks that are concerned about a particular industry or a particular wildlife and natural parks and other issues? So we've got to continue to work together. I think it's been great for us with Republican majorities in the House and the Senate and with President Trump in the White House.
What a time. You got to serve in Congress before. You got to serve under the Biden years. It had to be just tremendously frustrating. But now look at what you're actually able to get done with Republican majorities in the House and Senate, and more importantly, President Donald J. Trump. All right, Congressman Ron Estes out of Kansas. Great to see you. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
All right, great. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, stand by. More coverage after this.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.